Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everyone. You know, just a couple things. First of all, you know, we talk about repentance for America. We need to pray that God would bring the church to repentance, too. As Brother Collins, I thought about what he prayed in his opening prayer. Forgive us our sins. We've got a lot to be forgiven for, and thank God he forgave. In fact, he forgave us. Not just he forgives us, he forgave us. He didn't forgive some of them over here and the rest somewhere else. He forgave them all. Amen. You know. Then to Brother Wayne, I say this. I told him before church, I said, Brother Wayne, don't take off no more. I said, Brother Wayne, you take off, and I lead songs. Brother Jim, somebody asked where the rest of the people was. It may be because I led song service while Brother Wayne was gone. I don't know. But Brother Wayne is certainly gifted, and I hope the church appreciates him for this. Not just leading the songs, but the songs he picks. Amen. That first hymn, I heard my sister-in-law say, do you know this? It's been a long time since I heard that hymn. I don't know how often you guys hear it. But listen to part of one line. It says, thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. It's not just important that we sing songs. It's important that we sing spiritual hymns and songs that are scripturally right. Amen. Anyways, with that said, we appreciate all of you. We want you to know that we ask our church to pray for you at all times, particularly brother and sister Jim, but even his daughters and the rest of the family and those that visit and down to the, we try to remember you guys in prayer at all times and pray that that's your feeling toward us. We try to remember Brother Collins, even when he's not here, you know. Brother Linehauser, I've met twice, but I certainly appreciate that he's here today. Pray for me, I'm not feeling good. I told Brother Jim, I'm going to try and stay as long as I can today, but I don't know what happened, Brother Collins. I just don't feel good today. But we're going to talk this morning, try to spend a little time. I've got to 11 o'clock, Jim. Is 11? Okay. Try and spend a little time. The subject we're going to take up this morning is, as I was telling the sister before church and told Brother Jim, was actually occasioned by a question from a family member in this church and a statement from my own wife. And the question was relative, the question from the person in the church here, the family member of the church here, was just this. What are these talents in Matthew 25? And how do we know what talents we have? And the statement that my wife made, and I'm afraid that a lot of people, particularly, and I hate to say it this way, but in your churches, even some of the Calvinists that aren't so grounded, they interpret talents, I'm afraid, in a lot different ways than actually the scriptures interpret them. To give an example, I think that a lot of them look at the talents like, they put the emphasis on the music in the church. Well, if I can play a guitar or play a piano or I've got a melodious voice, so that I might be on Dancing with the Stars or whatever they have on TV. But if I got a voice like that, then I'm a gifted, I've got talents. Well, we won't dispute that those certainly aren't talents, and they all come from the Lord, which we'll get to later. But there's talents far and above that. And I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that a lot of them are overlooked in the church. And the thing that bothers me about that, I'll tell you right up front, is that it would generate a statement like it did from my wife. And I'll tell you why. Because I consider my wife one of the most talented people that you'd ever meet. Like my mother-in-law told me one time, she was talking to me, and God love her, she was a wonderful woman. She said, "Oh, Steve, I wish I remembered those scriptures like you, and I wish I had a better memory." I said, "Let me tell you something, sister. There's a big difference between me and you." She said, "What?" I said, "Oh, I remember the scriptures. The thing is, you live them." I said, "I've not met many people that live these scriptures like you do. Now, if I got my choice between knowing the scriptures, see, I'm certain old Brother Paul, before his conversion, he knew that Old Testament. I mean, is there anybody that disputes that? This man knew that Old Testament. He wasn't living it. But I think we mistake a lot of times just what true talent is and what these gifts are, and more so, and how we use them for the glory of God. See, there's the end. There's the end. How do we use these talents? And with that said, we're going to open up the scriptures this morning. We're going to go to Matthew 25, and we'll start at verse 14, read through to verse 30. And what we're going to point out this morning we'll go through the scriptures first. We all there? Hopefully. Are we all there? Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And he likewise that had received 2, he gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him," verse 23, "'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I've not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him which hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God bless his word. We're going to try and talk this morning, and I may drift a little bit here, but I'll always try to stay on this subject. But we pointed out the misconceptions in the of what talents, what true talent is, you know. And because of this misconception, I'm going to say this to you. The reason I mentioned my wife, because of this misconception, a lot of women really don't get the honor that they deserve sometimes, particularly in your worldly churches. If they don't sing, dance, and, you know, we almost think we're running an Al Jolson program or something, I don't know. But if they don't do something like that, they're not really honored a whole lot in a lot of churches. But brothers and sisters, as we'll look on, we're not only going to look at the gifts that God gave and point out some of the gifts, but we're going to look at who he gave them to and just how valuable they are. First of all, when you read this text, you'll notice something, that the talents given weren't identified. It doesn't tell you what particular talents. And by the way, if you go over into Luke, Mark, the 19th chapter, you'll find out over there, it's talking about pounds, I think. But over there, it doesn't identify what, this is a parable. It doesn't have to identify the specific talents. To understand the talents, we have to go other places in the scriptures. To understand what the Lord gave to his people, we must go to other scriptures. That's why we need to search the scriptures. That's why we need to view the whole set of scriptures to try and understand the mind of the Lord with the help of the grace of God. But look, before we go to these other scriptures, we need to look at the occasion for this parable. If you remember, just prior to this, and we could go back actually two chapters, but just prior to this, the Lord was talking about the parable of the virgins. You guys remember? He was talking about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And he's in this parable, the Lord noticed this. He's always talking in this parable about these parables about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. What occasioned this was, I believe, was not only did he talk about foolish virgins, but he went on to show the foolishness of a lot of people relative to all the things that God's given us in life. I believe that's what he's talking about. But first, let's establish that it is the Lord. In verse 14, he says the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. I don't think we have to sit around and dispute and argue. This was the Lord Jesus Christ talking about getting ready to take a trip. And his trip, first of all, involved the cross. He was going to the cross, and he was leaving to go to a far country, which was back to heaven. Remember in John 14, disciples were so upset and so perplexed and so troubled that in John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? Because he was going away. He was leaving. But he says here, he says, look, he called his own servants and delivered unto them. He calls them his goods. Now, I want you to notice in the second place that these goods or these talents were actually gifts. And I want to show you, you know, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, talents, that's money. You know, talent of silver, talent of gold, that's actually a weight measure. But no, these were gifts. And you say, how do you know that? Because if you look at verse 15, it says, and unto one of them he gave. He gave. He gave these things. These were gifts that Christ gave. Now, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's getting ready to leave, that he gave gifts to men. There's no doubt about it. The scriptures are clear on it. We see this in Ephesians, I think, 4. But listen. Listen. The To whom did the Lord give his gifts? You see, a lot of people think that when the Lord Jesus Christ left, that he only gave these gifts to the apostles, the church, the elect, the saved. But that's not true. That's not true. And I pray that everybody here this morning is a child of God. But let me tell you something. It's clear from the text, from this parable, that he gave gifts, some gifts to all. He gave some to all. You say, how do you know that? Well, I'll tell you how you know it. Because as you look over in verse 24 through 30, listen, this man was not a part of the elect or a child of God, was he? This man was in no sense. He was an unprofitable and unrighteous. And listen, look at his end. Where does he end? He says, cast that man into outer darkness. Is that a child of God? I don't think so. There'll be none of the elect cast into hell. I promise you that. The word of God won't abide that. So that we see that God gives gifts, and we readily acknowledge, let's just face it. Man, there's people out here in the world that have, in the worldly sense, and by their standard, have far more gifts than most of us will ever have. I mean, man, you look at science medicine and mechanics and electrical engineering and all these matters, you know. Lord, if they waited for me to design something to get a person to the moon, they'd really be in deep trouble. I'm fortunate to make it up here this morning. I can't hardly find my way back to Brownsburg, let alone the moon. You know, the only way I know the moon, we go outside usually and Carol points up and shows it to me. I even need her to show me the moon. But brothers and sisters, there are people in this world that have particularly by their measurement, as Paul calls it in one place, science falsely so-called. They have gifts. You know, we don't doubt that. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Man, you know that the world, a lot of these people, and some in the church, there's nothing necessarily wrong with this, but man, they have a gift to make some money. Like in stock, they buy low and sell high. Where with me, I do the opposite. I buy high and sell low. Yeah. In other words, don't come to me for any stock advice. You're going to be in deep trouble. But these people are talented. Some of them, man, I've got a son. This guy, I'll tell you what, young man. I'll tell you what, he got so much money, he ain't even going to talk to you about it. He's afraid I might ask him for $25. But look at, he's a talented person, buddy. He makes money and turns it over, and he works hard. I'll say this, but he turns that money over, makes money hand over fist. There's nothing wrong with that. The point I'm trying to make is that even the world has certain gifts and attainments from God. Look at Acts 17. I think it's, what is it, 17 and... Look at Acts 17. Is it verse 30? Let's see. No, I don't think so. Let me see. Let's see. Okay. Acts 17 and verse, we'll start at 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets, he tells them, said. And this is over at Athens. He said, your own poets have told you this, that God is the cause of our movement, our breath, and existence. This applies to all, not just the church. But notice what he says, verse 29. For then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead's like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. And then he tells us that he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? because he's appointed a day where he's going to judge the quick and the dead. This applies to all. It's not just, this ain't just, I know there's some out there that think maybe this just applies to the elect. That's not true. It applies to the elect in the sense that they're the only ones that'll do this. But the command's to all. The command's to all, not just some. You know, well, Brother Linehouser, now you got to repent. But now don't you worry about it because you lost anyway. What kind of stuff is that? You know, we know that can't be right. If that's the case, how could God judge by the Lord Jesus Christ the quick and the dead? You can't judge a person if they're not required to do a thing. You know, if I haven't broken anything, I don't have to fix it. Not required. But anyways, he grants to all life and breath, as we've seen. I'll go a little further with you. Notice that he gave those, if you look in the text, Matthew 25, 24 through 30, he gave those one, it says one talent. So he gave them some talent, which we've seen. And yet, and let's face it, is there not a certain grace that God has given to many of the unsaved that they've been able to set and hear the gospel of grace? Has he not given them that talent? They've set, and some set week after week, and year after year, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet it never bringing any multiplication, it never growing, it never operating. They just die as they live. They come and hear it. You guys know it. I'm sure the brothers know. Many there. Listen, people walk in your church. Unsaved, they hear the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he done for his people, and they walk out. And listen, man, who's more blessed than those people to be able to hear this? Huh? How many don't hear it in this lifetime? I'm talking about the doctrine of what the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. How many people, I know we got, oh man, we got thousands of churches across this country. Yeah, we sure do. Huh? Now how many of them are preaching and talking about substitutionary work of Jesus Christ? The sovereignty of God in his election, in his calling, in his effectual call. How many people talk about this? How many people talk about the Lord confirming his people to the end and keeping them? Keeping those that he saved. And how many even of those that talk about it attribute that to the grace of God and not to some work of their own? You know. So there are people that have passed through our churches, and you guys know it. Brother Jim and Brother Collins and I were talking about some of this last night. Brother Jim pointed out some things that people have said, hey, that started off well, but said, I want no more to do with this. I'm done. And never darkened the door of the church again. Never darkened the door of the church again. Certainly, brothers and sisters, these guys received some gifts from God. Not just life and breath. Not just the ability to work and support themselves, but they received the gift of a lot received the gift to be able to hear these truths in the scriptures, and yet they spent them to no avail. They walked out, and then, as it were, what did they do? They buried him. Just put aside. The church. We're going to have to move on to be brief, but the church. Again, a lot of times we misunderstand. By the way, and I say this to you. In Ephesians 4, the scriptures tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, if you look with me real quick, in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, the scriptures tell us that listen to how it says it. Talking to the church at Ephesus, he says, in verse 7 we'll start, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Notice this, according to his measure. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, and led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now just stay there with me for a second. But I want you to note, and I'm stopping there to say this. If you look at the parallel passage, and I don't know how many of you have, in Psalm 68, verse 18. Have you guys noticed that before? I want to read you Psalm 68, the parallel passage to this. Psalm 68 and verse 18. I want you to read how it says it here. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea. For who, church? For the rebellious also. For the rebellious also. Even the rebellious receive something from Christ. Even the rebellious. And by the way, we were all rebellious prior to the Lord Jesus Christ saving our souls. Until we're regenerate, we're all rebels. Let's be clear on that. That, by the way, that's part of the, that's the root of these doctrines of grace, is total depravity, that all men fell and died in Adam. We were all rebels, you know. We talk about Adam. I heard somebody say one time they get to heaven, they're going to go up and smack Adam in the mouth or something. For what? Huh? He didn't do nothing we wouldn't have done. And we prove it every day, don't we? But anyways, notice. He received gifts, Christ did, when he went back to heaven. And he didn't keep them. It says he gave them. Now, we've talked about the world for a few minutes, and we've talked about how they certainly do. A lot of them get a chance and have an opportunity, and probably heard as much about the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ as we have. And yet, as I said again, they just put it over here in the ground. They just bury it, going about their business. They don't have time. Now, let's look for a few minutes at the church. First of all, the obvious, the reason I had to stay in Ephesians 4, one of the obvious gifts he gave to the church, as we move on, we can look over here in verse 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, we know that the apostolic age is past. Or I'm going to say this to you, so I'm not speaking for everybody. I believe it has. I believe those gifts and those things that the apostles did, I think they're past. I know we got guys nowadays, man. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You listen to them. Oh, mercy. Well, I won't even comment. But notice what he says. But he gave some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Brothers and sisters, we believe that all these things are within the church today and given to the children of God, his people. What for? It tells us. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And church, I must say this to you, and I tell you guys nothing any different here than I wouldn't say anywhere else. I hope you realize how fortunate you are. Oh, Brother Dave, I'm not putting him on the spot, but Brother Dave, Patsy's husband, let me tell you what. If something ever happens to our church, he'd be right up here with you guys. He loves old Brother Jim, makes no bones about it. In the scriptures, in the teaching and preaching of the scriptures, some men are capable of preaching. Some of them are good at teaching. Brother Jim has to be gifted at, he's gifted at both. And by the way, both of the same office. They're not, you know, they ain't no three or four, you know. But Brother Jim happens to be gifted at, in the whole, this whole circle. And I really admire him. He talks about, I've known him for a long time. My personal opinion, he's as good as they got around here. And when I say around here, I'm talking about around Indiana. Now, I haven't heard them all, but all of them I've heard, I've not heard any better than Brother Jim. I'm just commenting on that to say this, that you guys ought to be very grateful, really, of the gift that God's gave you. Man, there's churches, and if you don't know it, ask Brother Jim and Brother Collins and Brother Linehouse. There's churches out here today short of pastors that can't get a pastor, and when they get one, he's not a good one. You know, he's not qualified. But Brother Jim is a very gifted individual, you know. Anyways, this is one of the gifts that he gave to the church. But what are others? Well, we can back up and say this. Did he not give us, listen, in the whole realm of salvation, are not all these things gifts? Are they not all gifts? Repentance. Who gives repentance? Who gives faith? Who gives the forgiveness of sins? Where do these things come from? Look at Acts 5:31. Christ came to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins to Israel. Now, by the way, that application is to the church also. You know, they mention Israel over in Acts 5, but that same application is to the whole church. Do we have repentance today? Have we been brought to repentance? God had to give it to us. Do we have the forgiveness of sins? Brothers and sisters, that's a grace of Jesus Christ. That has to come from him. Faith. A lot of people beat up their faith. And, oh, I'll tell you what now. Anybody can have faith. Anybody. You just got to improve these things that you hear and do them, blah, 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 blah. Where does faith come from? We know, for it is by grace you're saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You look at Hebrews 12 and 2, where it tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher. By the way, if Christ don't finish and confirm us to the end, we're in deep trouble. You see, it's his faithfulness. It's his gift of faith that saves us, not ours. My Lord, our faith is always failing. You know, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And brothers and sisters, you know it. We need help. We certainly do. But anyways, we look at these graces that Christ gave us. And friends, listen, man, these are gifts. These are gifts. And by the way, it's evident he don't give these to all. That's evident. Okay? We want to look at some other gifts for a few minutes. Romans, if you go with me to Romans 12, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8, which most people, you know, I tell you what, you never hear a lot of people talk about these matters over here. When they talk about gifts, you'll notice your charismatics, they run over to 1 Corinthians. No, they're going to talk about speaking in tongues, and particularly, and others. But they don't hardly, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, how many sermons have you heard even talked about on these scriptures? But listen to what it says. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice this. Every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, And all members don't have the same office, he says. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Let's stop there for a minute. Notice this. It's talking about four or five things, prophesying or preaching. Now, we know there were prophets in the even in the early church in the New Testament, Agabus and Philip's daughter. He had some daughters that prophesied. Listen, we don't believe there's anything future that are going to be told us outside the scriptures. Nothing. We have the scriptures. We don't have to appeal to any prognosticators. The scriptures lay down everything we need to know for life and death and those things. But look, we know that there are people that are preachers and prophecy. They deal in prophecy in this sense. They deal with the scriptures. And we notice that all are not equal. We know that. I pointed out Brother Jim. Let me tell you something about Brother Jim. First time he asked me to come out here, you know what I told him? I said, that's like the teacher asking the student to come. I mean, really. It scared me. Be honest with you. Huh? Yeah, right. Yeah, Brother Jim, I'll be right there to straighten you out. Wrong. You know. There's just some men that are so far above others that there's no, you know. I mean, let me tell you. And by the way, where I start out at, almost everybody's above me. So I don't, you know, I ain't got anywhere to go but up. But anyways, we have that gift. We have that gift Romans talks about. Then notice the second one. On ministry, verse 7. This ministry, I believe, is talking about, and if you'll look over at Acts 6 and 1 when you get time, or 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. This ministry was talking, if you remember, when the deacons were picked. There was an issue within the Jerusalem church. And what was it? Well, the Greek widows were not being taken care of according to what the people thought they should be. They were being neglected. And if you remember, they said, go choose out seven men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And let them deal with these things. Because what did the preacher say? What did Peter tell them? Because we need to deal with the word of God in prayer. You go let them deal with this. You know, so everybody, notice this. Every member in the church has their place. Preacher, pastor, teacher, deacon. Let me tell you something, and Brother Jim be the first to admit it. He couldn't make it out here without Brother Wayne. Could you, Brother Jim? This church couldn't function right. A church without a deacon, that's like losing your right arm. Man, you're in a heap of trouble. You can't make it. And particularly if he's a good deacon. Now, if he's a shifty deacon, you need to get rid of that dude anyway. But a good deacon is like a virtuous woman. Who can find one? You know. But this is what I believe is talking about the ministry. When you look at 1 Corinthians 16, you'll notice that they went over in 1 Corinthians 16 and it says this. It says, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas and of the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They determined within themselves. Listen, we're going to take care of the saints. And by the way, I'll tell you something. within the church. And Brother Cleve, I tell you, Pastor Cleve, he made a statement to our church. We got a small church too, and he made a statement. He said, let me tell you what he said. He said, look it. He said, if every younger person in the church would pick a widow in the church. We have several widows. And if they pick a widow in the church, this one, and call them at least once a week, maybe several times, and tend to their needs, he said, we have nobody going without in this church. I tell you what, I never had looked at it like that. But you know what I did? I picked me out a widow, and in fact, she's the oldest one in the church. But I call her actually almost every day. And we see, Carol and I see to her needs. We try anyways, you know. I think this is our obligation. Now, we're talking about widows, obviously, who don't have, well, even those that have children, that have believing children to take care of. We still should check on them, you know. And I'm sure you guys stay in touch with the sisters like that. But anyways, that's ministering. Now, teaching, another branch of the same office. We've already pointed that out. If you look at Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, back to it, but he gave some teachers. And what are all these things for? Ephesians tells us. What were those gifts for? What were they for? Look at it. For the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, everything that we do within the church should be to edify one another and to support each other. Everything that we do. Then we look at the things that should promote all these things and what spirit they should be done in. And I'll have you look at this as we go on. Notice he says, him that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Ruleth with diligence. I believe it's talking about the above gifts. If you're given, if you're ruling as pastor or deacon or whatever, but do it with simplicity, rule with diligence. And by the way, those that show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. You guys ever go up and somebody call you and talk to you? It's almost comical. But here's, you can tell a lot of times if somebody really cares and wants to do something for you. Notice this. Brother Collins, how you doing, man? Is there anything I can do for you? Brother Linehouser, you don't need anything, do you? You know what they're telling you? Lord, I hope he don't tell me he needs something. And don't make it money, brother, because I might have to come out of my pocket. And you know, you can always tell people got a lot of money. They keep their hands in their pockets. You ever notice that? They're afraid you might get a buck or a penny out of them. Yeah. Don't ask them that. But anyway, moving on. I only got a couple minutes left. But let me go on and say this. We need to show love. The scriptures tell us there without dissimulation or hypocrisy. We need to be honest with ourselves and others. We need to acknowledge that all these things come from God. We pointed that out early. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at 4 or 5 verses. But look, verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that they're found faithful. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. Brothers, we need to be very careful with this. Now look at verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another, one from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Brothers and sisters, I know we live in a time when there are a lot of self-made men, and they think they are. And a lot of people that think they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. And that they're better than others because of some gift they have. That's not true. Whatever it is we have, you better rest assured the Lord gave it to you. And I'll close with this. There's a lot more, but I'll close with this. And it's just this. I hope I've showed that these gifts are not only given, as you look in the parable itself and see that the one man's an unprofitable servant cast into outer darkness. We see these gifts were not just given to the church, not just the child of God, not just the saint, but there's a certain amount of gifts that are given to all. And here's the question, brothers and sisters. What are we doing with our gifts? Which one of these two are we? And what are we doing with our gifts? And I'll say this to you, finally. You know, it says, take the talent from him and give it to him. Take the pound from him over in Luke or Mark and give it to him. And somebody says, well, wait a minute. You mean these people have all these gifts and it's going to be taken away from them? Listen, there's a lot of gifts. If you'll look at Luke and write this down, if you don't remember any other scripture, write this down, Luke 8:18. And listen to what the scripture say. For in that day, he'll taketh away that which he what? Seemeth to have. There's a lot of people glorying in the things they think they've got. And they're going to find themselves destitute and broke because they only seem to have them. Do we have them? How do we use them? Do we glorify God with them? Do we thank the Lord for them? God help us. Thank you, sisters and brothers.
Thank you, Brother Steve. We appreciate this message on talents and talents.